Yeah. Well, good. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Oil Trader Podcast. My name is Wendy Lesishi.
And I'm George Meany.
And today we got some interesting things to talk about. Every single year we talk about this, so I thought maybe we can unpack it again. But George, what are we actually talking about today?
The 2022 Auto Trader Car Industry Report. Now, it's not 2022 because it's last year. It covers up to the end of last year. So what are the trends? What are the car buying patterns? Has it changed? What are consumers doing? What do we believe the top three trends are for 2023? 100%.
I think every single year we're kind of shocked at what we see. We do follow it, you know, every single month, but
I don't know about
you can never
shocked.
Really predict what happens. Specifically in the last 3 years, I think I've been pleasantly surprised by some of
I've got this
the
cartoon cat, you know, putting his finger inside a plug.
Mm-hmm.
Shocked.
Mm-hmm. I mean, not that shocked, but pleasantly surprised by how people, I think for me, it's how fast, you know, consumers, you know, change their shopping behavior, what they kind of like over the months. That for me is kind of what interests me the most. But why do we actually do this report, George? Do you want to give a quick summary of, you know, from your perspective, why you think it's important?
Yeah, I mean, I think in short, the industry suffers from, or should I say South Africa in general, suffers from a lack of automotive data, really structured automotive data.
Yeah.
And we took it on ourselves to provide that data to the industry as far as we could, you know, based on how consumers are engaging on our platform. I mean, we're the biggest automotive marketplace platform in South Africa. We've got the most visitors, most engagement, and cars get sold off our platform every single day. And get loaded on our platform, and we've just built Instant Offer, which is the consumer sell side or the industry buy side.
Yeah,
and we'll provide data from that platform as well. So not only will we see consumer demand, which is basically what the industry report speaks to, and buying patterns, we'll also begin to see consumer supply patterns,
100%,
and industry supply patterns. So it's really because of the lack of really high quality structured data in the country, you know,
100%.
At scale, that is, because there's quite a number of parties providing data.
Yeah, 100%.
But the data is not at scale.
Yeah, and when you say at scale, you mean the size or kind of
representative
of the market?
Of the market, okay. Yes. Yeah, and because we represent probably in the region of north of 80, 85, maybe even 90% of used car vehicle searches and sales in the country, we are represented of the automotive retail industry.
Yeah. I think on a daily basis, I mean, we get requests from different people within the industry sort of give us or asking for data.
Yeah.
Because one, it's just not readily available, or you have to pay for it, whereas we kind of give it away for free.
Well, we give this level of data away for free to our customers. We do have a product called Fusion, and that gets real-time live market data at granular level, changes day by day.
100%. I think for not people who are not necessarily in the industry, or consumers rather, one thing that the industry reports do also give is transparency. It gives you an idea of where the sweet spots are for some of the most popular vehicles. So even if you're just shopping around, you want to understand what's kind of a good price point of where the market's pricing their vehicles, you can always just download the reports as well and you can get some of those insights.
Well, whether you're a consumer, dealer, someone in the industry, you can download these reports at reports.autotrader.co.za.
So what are the kind of some of the trends that we spotlighted this year? Do you want to just walk us through some of the ones and then maybe high level we can talk about them?
So key takeaways. Key takeaways in this year's report was because it's 2022. Increased digital sales experiences. So customers are increasingly insisting on transparency. We've seen this as a theme for a few years, a decade, at least. And OEMs are looking at their own proprietary as well as third party digital retailing platforms.
Yeah. So I've seen that quite a lot now. A lot of I think a lot of people who are searching for cars don't always just go directly to the OEM. And people shop and search for cars in different ways. So I think we're seeing these OEMs or these car manufacturers reaching out to third party guys to kind of see what's the best way to kind of reach them and, you know, show them what their products are. So it's going to happen for a few years now. It's not going to stop. This is a trend that's going to be around for years and years, but it has sped up in the last year.
Yeah, it definitely has. Digital retailing is a big thing. I just came back from the National Automotive Dealer Association conference in the United States, and
digital. Was there anything that's kind of like stood out from
digital retailing is just proliferating. It's a lot of players in the States believe that you're going to be able to click and buy a car in the future. You know, look at the likes of Carvana, however you say it. But that's just not true. And people are building digital retailing pieces of software platforms that try and achieve that objective.
Yeah, I've seen, you know, you can go and test drive a car now in this virtual space, in this digital space.
So the ones that are really successful,
yeah,
which are the kind of handful of top-end players, those are the guys who are realizing that digital retailing is not about solving for click and buy.
Yeah.
Digital retailing is about digitizing various parts of the journey and giving retailers good information on car buying trends, consumers, valuations, all that stuff. But also realizing that fulfillment will always happen in the dealership.
For what? The sake of just speeding up the process, the car buying process ultimately?
Convenience. Convenience for the consumer.
Yeah,
trying to digitize the various parts of the journey.
Do you think we're ever going to get to a point where that is a little bit more physical than just this digital space? I mean, I've experienced I've had a VR experience, which was one of the most surreal experiences I've ever had.
It still can't feel real.
But you can't, yeah. Do you think that's going to be a barrier for
definitely? I mean, you like R500,000 car.
Yeah.
Would you really buy it sight unseen?
No, but if you can. You could definitely market it to me and you can give me the feeling of it and they'll get me like interested.
But you still want to go and drive it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And more so a secondhand car. 100%. So if anything, the secondhand, the new car market, you might have a consumer that buys online, but you don't know. Last week he might have gone to test drive a car. And it's not necessarily linked to his purchasing journey. So the OEM might think he bought it online entirely, but he really didn't. He actually went and experienced the car. At some point, he's experienced the car. So the dealership's important, and more so for secondhand cars.
There is exceptions to this. For instance, I know with Volvo, when they released their P6 Recharge and their P8 Recharge, you could buy that completely online.
Yeah, but it's a pocket. It's a very small segment because... Exactly. Because there was high demand, low supply. When you get an environment where there's high demand, low supply, at some point you're going to kind of get that niche. But in the main, that's not the case.
100%. Next one is mobility as a service. We've spoken about this a few times. But what's the future of mobility as a service in South Africa? And I think that's what's interesting me. Why do we spotlight this specific trend?
So, you know, people don't want these long-term contracts on cars anymore. It's not the main thing that consumers do when they buy. It's not the Pareto 80-20. At the moment, this is part of the 20. Not part of the 80.
In terms of ownership versus usage. Yeah,
usage of a car. So mobility as a service, and we saw through the pandemic that people actually went back from using. Ride-hailing apps, ride-hailing services and taxis and back into owning their own cars. Mm. So...
just depends on the time, ultimately.
What's happening. Yeah, it depends on the time, but I think also that maybe the sweet spot is medium-term car leasing, where you don't actually own the car, you just use it.
So I... Well, this is also... On my way to work, I think it was 2 days ago, I saw one of the car dealerships around here had the option of rent to own. Which is kind of, a hybrid.
It's creative finance.
Yeah, ultimately,
it's creative finance. So,
do you believe people will get to a world where people don't own cars anymore, and where it's just, I'm just gonna
long way off that. People are stuck in their ways. We're a long way off that. It's going to happen, and there's signs of it already. What's wrong with my throat? There's signs of it already, but international companies are growing double digits.
I remember we went to, I think it was Festival of Motoring, and I spoke to a gentleman who's the CEO of one of these companies that do that. And he told me that right now, the guys who mostly do this is businesses. So if you own, for instance, a funeral service and you need a fleet of cars, but you don't necessarily have the capital to go and
buy them
and outright buy them. There's a great solution for that. But in terms of scale, in terms of South Africans, I think we're still very much a society that likes to own our vehicles. I know I do. But, you know, it's also that price point of leasing it is so high. It's so high that it doesn't make sense to do that instead of just...
When the economics work, then it'll then become it'll a thing.
Exactly.
While it's cheaper to get finance...
Exactly.
And it's cheaper to get the insurance and cheaper to maintain, although maintenance is a little bit of a red herring because... you don't see maintenance until much later.
Yeah.
Because of warranties. But while it's cheaper to own financed and have insurance on the car versus leasing, people are going to go for the cheaper option.
And that is car ownership right now.
Yeah. Yeah. It has to be cheaper. So at the moment, you think about it this way. I want to lease a car or rent a car to somebody, should I say, not lease. Rent a car to you. Okay. I buy the car. VW Polo is an example.
Yeah.
I pay $300,000 for the car. Okay, so now I've got to fund that.
Mm-hmm.
If I pay cash for the car, I want a return on my investment.
Mm.
Okay, what is the return that I want? 15%, 20% return? Okay. Or I'm going to lend money from the bank. Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm going to fund it somehow. Most of the time you're trying to get third-party funding as much as you can in a business. So if I get money from the bank and I get, say, prime minus two, I might be able to give that car to you under a rental for prime minus two, but then I'm not making any profit.
Mm-hmm.
I'll have to make it more than prime minus two. Mm. But maybe the consumer can get prime.
If they go for ownership.
So the economics have to work.
I did see an example of this. I did an exercise to see what is the difference. And it's almost about R2,000 additional. If you...
It's because their profitability is built into that, see? So that's the economics of the problem. It's not the model.
So there are some numbers to go with this. So right now, globally, some of the figures are showing a growth of around 30% in the last year.
Because they're being creative.
In terms of mobility as a service instead of ownership. So that is growing, but those are very, 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 very... isolated instances, and you need a very big base. I think in South Africa it's not there yet.
Yeah, I mean, you've heard the anecdote: 30% of nothing is still nothing.
Exactly.
So you know, so if you're making R100 and you grow it by 30%, you're making 130. Yeah. So the base numbers are low.
Still very low, yeah.
So in the context of 30% growth, it's not really that big.
Mm. Speaking of small bases, green initiatives. That is the third thing that's been spotlighted. I mean, the buzzword right now is just new energy vehicles, hybrids and electric vehicles. What are the trends that you're seeing there right now?
Well, we're still seeing the doubling effect.
Yes.
Search on our platform for electric vehicles, battery electric and hybrid. Hybrids actually got more search than battery electric. But the numbers, again, are still small. Mm. So, you know, 212 vehicles sold in the previous year versus 500.
Yeah,
That's still more than doubling.
Mm.
But if that doubling trend continues, it really exponentially grows very quickly.
No, it's compounding.
It's compounding, yeah. Exactly. So we're seeing that trend continue. But, what is the doubling effect to infinity? I think it's...
64 times or something. No?
No, I think in a couple of years you get like market saturation.
Mm.
So I don't believe the doubling will continue forever, but if it does, we'll get to an EV world quite quickly, maybe 5-10 years.
Hybrid vehicles are growing faster in terms of people buying them. So that's good to see. And it's something that you've said many months before this was you believe that hybrid is going to be kind of the stepping stone into where EV is.
Well, it's because of things like load shedding and grid infrastructure and long distance driving. I mean, during the holidays, I took a drive down to the Free State.
In a hybrid vehicle?
In a diesel.
Okay.
Not in my I-Pace. And I got to my destination 2 hours quicker than in my I-Pace.
2 hours quicker. Do you think that is a substantial number where people are like, that's
well, it's
so big that like I can't do it?
It's about 20% faster.
Mm.
20% faster than I've done that same trip in my I-Pace.
Did you feel more relieved at the end of that or?
No, I felt a little bit more stressed. And I can tell you one thing that happened in that drive versus in my electric vehicle was, you know, when you drive for long distances and you only stop for fuel, that's what I did, only stop for fuel, you get this like floaty feeling because you've been driving for so long. And with the battery electric, because you have to stop to charge,
you feel a little bit more recharged.
You feel recharged, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
I feel like taking an extra 2 hours is worth it.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't feel like work.
I remember I recently drove to Cape Town, did the full drive going there. I did the full drive in 1 day. Coming back, did it in 2 days. So much better.
Better, yeah. I've so done the one better. Day thing to Cape Town in a petrol vehicle before, and it's so stressful.
Yeah.
So, you know, so if it took me 2 hours longer in an I-Pace versus an ICE vehicle to get to Colesberg area, that's where I went, and then there's that same distance, sort of more or less to Cape Town. It's a little bit further, but to Cape Town.
Yeah.
That means you've got 4 hours added to your trip in an EV right now.
Yeah. In an EV.
Yeah. 4 hours added to your trip. But that's doable over 2 days.
It is.
Very doable, and you're relaxed when you get there.
Exactly, yeah.
You know,
and it's safer, ultimately.
So in an ICE vehicle, you're going to do 2 days. In an EV, you will do 2 days too.
Mm. Okay. Last one, I think, is kind of close to the first one, which is holistic car buying experiences. So this one just speaks to the fact that people are smarter. Consumers are just a lot more educated with regards to how to buy, what's the options, and also how to buy. And right now, I think it's important, or another trend that's come out, is this idea that you facilitate everything with transparency and giving them the option to kind of experience what the initial product is going to be. So,
well, I think what you're talking about is, you know, car selling by the consumer.
Yes, this is
car selling. Yeah. So, I mean, it's easy to get confused. The trade buys cars.
Yeah.
But the trade also sells cars,
yeah.
Right? So what we're talking about here is the car buying experience by the industry, but more importantly, the car selling experience by the consumer. Now,
yeah.
The trends over the last decade or so has been that the buying and selling journey of the consumer, because when you're a consumer and you're a car buying consumer, you've usually in a car, you've got a car to sell. Right.
Yeah.
That selling journey and the buying journey were very closely coupled.
Mm.
Along comes creative buying services and platforms that offered the consumer different ways in which to sell their car.
Yeah.
And not necessarily buy a car in the same journey, started to create this diversion.
Mm.
Of the selling journey for the consumer and then the buying journey for the consumer. Forget the other side of the trade for a second. This is just consumer selling and consumer buying. So the divergence of this selling journey versus buying journey started to happen, in which the consumer had creative ways to sell their car. Ah, I don't need to trade my car in on the car that I'm buying. I don't need to sell my car privately on a platform like autotrader.co.za.
Yeah.
I've got other options. And the other options actually aren't too bad.
Yeah.
Because you know the principle, the faster you want to sell your car, the lower the price.
Yes.
It's normal. Okay. If you're prepared to wait a while,
you can
sell it privately. You can sell it on autotrader.co.za as a private consumer.
Yeah.
And it's going to take you, if the price point is in the right place, it'll take you a couple of weeks to sell.
Yeah.
But if you want to sell it tomorrow,
yeah,
you're going to have to accept trade prices. So creative buying services came along and gave the consumer options. Mm. And that's good for the consumer. So we decided to enter this this race for consumer car selling because, you know, we believe that the cars have to end up at the trade, at the dealer, and at the end of the day, because the one part of the industry that's been damaged is probably not the right word, but
it's like a bad reputation. Essentially.
Well, no, the one part that the industry has lost.
Yeah.
Is the trade-in.
The trade-in, yeah.
The trade-in, or losing, should I say, is the trade-in. So the car dealer started losing the trade-in to creative car buying services.
Yeah.
And the consumer loved it.
Mm.
And so we launched Instant Offer to enter the race. And our objective is to try and get that trade-in back to the dealership.
It's quite interesting. But yeah, I mean, we speak about Instant Offer a lot. But if you're interested in selling your car instantly, Autotrader Seal is it. So some of the, let's maybe move into some of the results that came out of the reports. I think is quite important. Is there any key highlights that you want to kind of walk us through, such as what's the most searched for car, you know, what's the most viewed car, and what's the most inquired car?
Yeah, I mean, before we get to the actual make model variants themselves, but yeah. I think what's interesting to note is right up until the end of 2022, we were still seeing double digit growth in platform visits.
Mm.
Okay. So we enter the pandemic, everybody starts buying things online, including cars. We see this massive buoyancy in consumer traffic and conversion. That starts to slow slightly right up until the end of last year, where we have still seen double-digit growth in consumer platform visits.
Yeah.
And so when you look back, what has actually been created is a bit of a used car bubble.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the world where there was a lot of consumer demand, used car prices started to rise.
Mm.
So I'm expecting that consumer engagement and conversion is going to slow a little bit at the beginning of this year before it picks up again as used car prices flatten off and maybe fall a bit.
But I don't think people are going to move off of using online platforms as that's just become the norm.
It's a price bubble.
Yeah.
You know, so that bubble has to kind of deflate a bit.
So this in terms of conversions, you're saying basically we will people see buying some cars. Sort of going down, yeah.
Yes. So people buying cars. I think prices are going to decline a bit,
mm-hmm,
before the market reaches normality. I mean, another thing that's driving this is the silicon chip shortage is now becoming a thing of the past.
Yeah, stabilizing a little bit, yeah.
Yes. So therefore, consumers are more interested in new cars too.
Yeah.
So that's also taking the demand away from used.
Mm.
So prices for used cars have to fall a little bit in order to stabilize back to normal kind of economics.
Speaking of that, so I mean, we saw once again another double digit increase in terms of prices for both used and new cars.
Mm.
So you think that this price is not going to be the new base much longer? You think it's definitely going to go down? Because I think that's been a big concern for a lot of consumers.
Well, it has to. Economics work itself out. You know, economics is a zero-sum game.
Yeah.
You know.
You can't really game that out.
They
stay at this point, knows when you're buying cars ultimately and then...
Exactly. So yeah. Car prices can't rise forever. And yeah. And at some point, demand's going to fall and then prices are going to fall.
100%.
Which we're probably going to see in the next couple of months.
So moving on to the most searched for, most viewed and most inquired. Do you know what that is?
I do, because I'm reading it right here. The most searched for brand. my brain's only so big. Most searched for brand is still VW.
Yeah. Okay.
And my searched for model is still the Toyota Hilux.
No surprise there.
No surprise. So no cat in plug.
Yeah. No shock there. Well, so, I mean, Toyota Hilux, I think, you know, a lot of people don't expect that one to be most searched for. I thought it would be maybe most inquired, but most searched for, yeah, I think that was a little bit of a change from what we used to. So
just remember, most searched for is at the top of the funnel,
yes,
and then it's most viewed, and then it's most inquired on. So this is the most searched for brands. Yeah,
correct. Most viewed was BMW, and the most viewed model was also the Toyota Hilux. Most inquired brand was Toyota. No surprise there. I mean, it is a fan favorite. But for the first time, Toyota Hilux is also the most inquired.
So that's interesting that, you know, that is the cat in plug moment, yeah, that Toyota was the most inquired on brand and Toyota Hilux was the most inquired on a model, if you want to call it, in terms of inquiries.
Yeah, I think that for me, I want to see if that's going to stay the same for the rest of the year. I think the Polo and some of the new hybrids are going to start, you know, coming along. Plus SUVs, they're still the most popular. So I think there's going to be a little bit of a change in the coming year, but it's been interesting to see. Before we leave, we're going to Cape Town at the end of the month for eFest.
Looking so forward to it.
Yes, for the 2023 Cape Town Grand Prix.
You are going to ditch Formula One after this.
I don't think I will. I don't think I will.
Yeah, but I heard from the team that you have an unfair advantage. And now the whole of South Africa is going to pitch up at your front door.
Yes,
or, just for everybody's benefit, Wendy has a grandstand view.
You can leave it just there. Just a grandstand.
I'm not going to tell you where it is. Wendy has a grandstand view of the circuit. He is so lucky.
If you guys watch the TV, you might just see me waving. Exactly. Let me just put it like that. But Auto Traders is going to be also running a competition where you can win double grandstand tickets. So if you want some more information on that, just go to the Auto Traders site, because it's going to be, it's the first time in South Africa, and I think it's something that shouldn't be missed. And that's pretty much all we have time for today, George.
Awesome.
Thank you very much.
Men's Formula One next month.
Yeah, March 5.
Go for crashing.
We'll see.